Welcome to the Brown County Hour.
Coming to you from the legendary hills of Brown.
Where the plum purple haze,
the one nature herself drapes over the hills and hollers,
inspires local characters, artists, and nature lovers.
It's as though the hills themselves conspire to create a beauty and a culture in the heart of Indiana.
Sit for a spell and hear the music.
The tall tales.
True stories.
And current goings on.
Brought to you by folks who still know how to sit by a fire in winter.
And swim buck naked in summer.
Welcome to episode 44 of the Brown County Hour. This is Carrie Ray.
And Dave Seastrom, along with the rest of the crew. Hi, Carrie. What do we have this month?
Well, our musical guest is Forrest Grass. We have our interview and we'll hear some selections from his new release, Stones and Bones.
We're pleased to have several pieces from our regular contributors, Jeff Tryon, Rick Fettig, Chris Curtin, and Gunther Flum. We also have the latest for a song from you, Carrie.
That's right. And your latest essay, Dave. We also have an interview from Vera Grubbs with local artist Martha Seckler. And Pam Rader has a piece about the community access fan.
We begin the show with Rick Fettig's whimsical view of fall. Then we'll listen to our interview with Forrest Grass and listen to one of his songs. We conclude this segment with another piece in Jeff Tryon's series called My Brown County.
The word fall. I'd like to start with the definition. Out of the 15 definitions of the word fall on Google, I'd like to give you a simplified version. Move downward, typically, rapidly, and freely, without control, from higher to lower. Of persons, lose one's balance and collapse. Downward without control, that sounds bad. Bombs can fall, people can fall, there's falling landslides and falling mudslides and falling glaciers. None of that sounds good to me. But then there's snowfalls, rainfalls, waterfalls like Victoria Falls and Niagara Falls. There's free falling, supposedly for fun. Fall to your knees. You could be begging, or you could be grateful. The hair falls over her shoulder, then falling head over heels in love. You can't control it. It could be good, could be bad, depends on the outcome. But isn't love more than an emotion? It's a decision. It's an active verb. Darkness falls earlier in winter. The four seasons fall in order. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Thanks, Carole King. Autumn is fall in America, when leaves entertain us as they change colors and then fall gracefully to the ground. The fall in Brown County in southern Indiana is beautiful beyond words. That partly explains our artistic culture. I heard a bird enthusiast describe the different visual he had as the summer greenery was the backdrop for the birds versus the colors of the autumn leaves. The leaves transforming into such a backdrop to the hills and hollers and the sky is a big part of what keeps us here and what brings in multitudes of tourists, which provide financial survival for many of our residents. Last week, the highways were backed up farther than I've ever seen them for several years. Many of the visitors touring through the shops and restaurants. Again, it's such a beautiful time of year around here. What would we do? Where would we be without our trees and their beautiful leaves? Adapting the age-old question of the sage, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, or see it, or be informed about it, is it really gone for 100 years or more?
All right, let's head on down to Beale Street. Blue City.
We're We're in the studio with Forrest Grass, and he's got a new recording out called Stones and Bones. Good to see you, Forrest. How you doing?
Good. It's great to be here in Brown County once again.
Yeah, well, that's your home turf. Lifetime here, huh?
Since I was four, I've lived here.
Yeah, well, that's just this side of native. So tell us about this recording. I mean, who's on? What did you do? What kind of stuff is it? Let's talk about it.
Well, it's all original material except for one Led Zeppelin cover tune and one traditional blues tune. The rest of it's all funk, rock and roll, blues and soul. We've got a lot of special guests on here. Forrest Greenmeans, Grammy-winning trumpet player. We've got Jason Ritchie, Grammy-winning harmonica player, as well as the regular Forrest Grass Band backing me up. Jack Daddy Joseph on the bass. Michelle Brentano on keys. We've got two drummers on the album, actually. Donnie Hill and John Valdez, and then we've got some backup singers on here, Zane Mackey and Ginger Curry.
So where'd you record this?
I recorded it at Rainstone Productions, and I mixed it with Rich Mapurgo at Midwest Audio.
Well, Forrest, you and I go way back. As we were talking about earlier, I first met you as your school bus driver. As I recall, you were just starting to play a little music at that point in your life. So this has been a lifelong pursuit, and I can honestly say from the material I keep hearing coming from you, somehow you just keep getting better, and that's tremendous. Much better than going the other way.
Well, thank you, sir. You were an inspiration, Dave. I remember you turned me on to Wes Montgomery back in the day.
So, Forrest, this is Carrie Ray. I have a couple questions for you, too. By the way, welcome to the studio. It's good to have you in here. And congratulations on your new release. So you mentioned Wes Montgomery. I've been sitting here thinking to myself, all right, I've heard Forrest's music. I'm really excited to hear this new piece. And I'm actually kind of excited, too, that we're having this interview before I've had a chance to listen to it. So I'm kind of not skewed by my own sort of taking in of your new recording. But who would you say are some of your other major influences as a guitar player, as well as a songwriter and a vocalist?
Carlos Santana, Buddy Guy, Jerry Garcia, and Jimi Hendrix.
That's awesome. So how would you say, in general, some of those artists have shown up in this new recording and in your work? Like, what sort of things do you pull in inspiration-wise, and how do they manifest themselves in what you're making?
Those are big questions, Carrie.
I know. So let's try to do the cliff notes for us, if you can.
So you just try to be yourself, yet, you know, you emulate whatever vibes you're picking up from the universe. As Miles Davis put it, you know, learn all you can, study hard, and when you get on the bandstand, forget it all and just feel it.
Just go for it, yeah. So what would you say, if as I'm sure it does, this recording represents the latest evolution of your style and of the artist that you continue to become as we're always evolving as artists? What is this record all about for you? Like, what are people going to hear here and go, wow, that's new or different, or that's a lot more of the same?
Well, honestly, 2 years ago, I thought I'd try an acoustic album after coming back from Memphis and seeing you play over here at Muddy Boots. I thought, you know, I should do an acoustic album. And so I started working that winter in the studio and tracked 25 songs, most of which are gone now, not part of this album. And we picked the best of it and realized that, you know, I'm really just an electric rock and roll guitar player. And so we went ahead and, you know, just continued and brought a whole band in and tracked most of it live.
Cool.
I've heard a couple of your cuts, and one of them on WFHB, and one of them is Crazy Horse Rides. I really like that piece. You want to talk about that?
Crazy Horse, you know, was a great warrior, and his spirit's still out there, and I just thought I would try to invoke a little bit of the warrior spirit in all of us.
Well, I know you have a strong affinity for Native culture. And you and I have even attended sweats together. And so I'm wondering if this is kind of your homage to that whole way of life and thinking.
Well, Kenny Kane was a great warrior, and that's who we sweated with. And he was a relative of Crazy Horse. And so Kenny passed away a couple years ago, and I just wanted to help invoke Kenny's spirit here and be a warrior.
Well, I'm sure he'd appreciate that. So let's talk about Stones and Bones.
Well, we've all got a lot of commonality between us. It's in our bones, and it's in the stones, and it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But the lyrics are really about the working man trying to feed his family and his children and rising up and, you know, getting through the day and making it happen. And it also makes mention about the rich man and that he pays his dues too. And we all have a common thread among us. It's a common road.
All right.
My Brown County with Jeff Tryon. The more I thought about what really makes Brown County Brown County, the more I began to realize how we each have our own particular Brown County. In a way, Brown County is what we each bring to it, what we find there for our own, what we each make of it. No one else sees it probably in the same exact way that I do. That's what makes it my Brown County. The Hidden City. It seems like a place set apart, physically separated from the rest of Brown County, as if by mutual consent. If it were an incorporated town, it would be the largest one in the county by 1,000 people. But it's like a secret city, somehow different from the county to which it technically belongs. The Cordray Sweetwater Conservancy District is a 2,300-acre subdivision built around a pair of private lakes in the extreme northeastern corner of Brown County. An estimated 1,100 people live there on lots adjoining Cordray and Sweetwater Lakes, 240 and 320 acres respectively, and ranging to 150 feet deep. There's really only one way in or out, the main entrance off of Sweetwater Trail. And once inside, the serpentine nature of the shore-hugging roller coaster roads and the fact that there are two more or less similar lakes side by side can often be confusing and disorienting for a first-time visitor. A news reporter once told me, "Never go in there without a map." The Conservancy District was the grand vision of developer Howard Prince, who had created Prince's Lakes just across the Johnson County line in the late 1940s and early 1950s. That successful development incorporated as a town in 1956. In 1948, Prince and his associates began a new development in Hamblin Township around the existing Cordray Lake and eventually creating an adjoining lake in the nearby Sweetwater Valley. Mr. Prince began buying up land in Brown County, which at that time and place was not exactly at a premium. He is reported to have purchased one 60-acre parcel in what is now Sweetwater Lake for $3,600, or just $60 an acre. The original plan for Cordray and Sweetwater Lakes as a recreational and resort housing development was heavily promoted by the Brown County Lakes Development Corporation. In 1952, work on the new Cordray Lake Dam began, and buyers started snapping up lots advertised for just $12 per lakefoot front, available on contract with monthly payments. Work was started on the dam for Sweetwater Lake in the spring of 1955, and lots began to be sold. But work on the dams was halted when the Princes Lake Building Company Incorporated went broke in 1958. The newly minted Cordray Sweetwater Lot Owners Association tried to press on with construction through voluntary contributions, but soon found that the issues involved required an organizational structure capable of raising the money needed to finish construction, operate, and maintain the lakes and related concerns. They turned to a new legal entity which had been created by the 1957 Indiana Conservancy District Act, which provides for special tax districts for the purpose of solving problems related to water resources management. The Cordray Sweetwater Conservancy District was established in June 1959 by the Brown County Circuit Court. The Conservancy operates under the direction of a 7-member board of directors elected by lot owners. Mr. Prince died in 1962 without knowing if his Cordray Sweetwater Lakefront development project would ever be completed. Cordray Sweetwater reflects a particular time and trend in American residential development with a vision of waterfront communities laid out like suburbs. The 1964 Master Plan, Brown County's first real planning document, creates a lake residential zoning classification and projects a Brown County dotted with a series of lakes and reservoirs bordered by rustic seaside-type cottages. The 64 Master Plan said 12 new reservoirs would give Brown County 4 invaluable new assets, including an adequate water supply, a flood control system which permit the development of flatland for new industry, new residential areas, and future waterfront lots. The 64 plan says, quote, "Not only conservation, but an actual enhancement of the characteristic scenic beauty for which Brown County is famous, a simultaneous means of securing immense economic growth," end quote. The plan contemplated submerging 4,240 acres, which it notes is barely 2% of Brown County's total area, under lakes as large as 800 acres. Lot sales continued on both Cordray and Sweetwater Lakes. Work on the Sweetwater Dam resumed in 1963. It was completed on the lake field to its current pool level in 1967. Cordray Dam was completed in 1968, and residential development continued for several years. By 1987, the district began reaching peak population levels. In the intervening years, almost half of the residential population had become part-time occupants. Attempts to incorporate the area as a town in 1998 and again in 2006 failed, leaving the district with some difficult issues about its legal authority to enforce certain codes and rules, and depriving it of some revenue sharing that smaller but incorporated entities receive. More recently, the district has been in court over concerns about property taxes, which seem to have tripled. Just like a lot of little unique areas and places around Brown County, the district has its own particular take on things, and that's one of the things that makes Brown County so interesting. Maybe we'll get into that subject a little bit deeper next time on My Brown County.
Now we pause for station identification.
Support for WFHB and the Brown County Hour is brought to you by Plum Creek Antiques, located at the intersection of 135 and 45 in downtown Bean Blossom, where visitors can buy, sell, or trade most anything. More information is available by calling 812-988-6268. You are listening to the Brown County Hour on volunteer-powered community radio WFHB at 100.7 in Brown County, 91.3 and 98.1 in Bloomington, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
Carrie Bray brings us another For a Song. Pam Rader shares her piece about the community access van. We'll hear Gunther Flum's poem titled Unpolitically Incorrect, and we'll listen to a song from Forest Grass.
Welcome to For a Song. I'm Carrie Ray, and in past installments, we've talked about the importance of honing your powers of observation. Today, I want to talk about active listening. No, not the counseling tool where the listener repeats back what they hear to confirm that the intended message was received. In fact, let's not call it that. Let's call it conscious listening. In a world chock full of sensory stimuli, sometimes all our little brain can do to save itself is to zone out. We do it every day. Think about those times someone's talking to you and you're responding, but not really listening. Or when you're in the car listening to the radio and have no idea what song just played. There's a reason that artists usually put the best songs in the front half of an album. How many times have you popped in a CD only to find that it's played through and you feel like you missed about half? In another lifetime, I had a stint teaching a design class for marketing and telecom seniors at Butler University. One of my weekly assignments was to write a critique of some piece of design, an ad, a website, a newsletter, to write in detail about what worked, what didn't, why, and what the student would change to make the piece more successful. Now, the typical response when I made the assignment for the first week was, "But we don't know anything about good design." "Ah," I would say, "but you do. You know what designs draw you in, what ads you stop and look at in a magazine, and which ones you flip right by." And over the course of this course, as you learn the components and principles of good design, you will learn why and how to describe why. And you will notice your critiques becoming more informed and descriptive. And they did. And so shall you. If you want to improve your songwriting, start listening to music differently and more actively. One of the tips I gave to my students, I will also share with you. It's helpful at first to pick music you really like and music you really don't like. It's much easier to notice extremes. Here are a few things to listen for to help you get started. They're also listed on the For a Song page at carrieray.com. First, notice the song's structure. Identify the parts if you can. Verse, chorus, bridge. And pay attention to how they're all put together. Next, what sort of lyric structure's used? Is the song in first person? Is it a story told in third person? Does it tell a story at all? Or is it perhaps more of a mood piece or a statement about something? Listen to the melody. How does it support the lyric? And how does it change as you move through the parts? Does the bridge bring the song to its climax? Or is it used to create a moment to ponder or reflect? Pay attention to the harmonic content and the arrangement and instrumentation. Notice how the use of a specific guitar or percussion part adds or subtracts from your sense of the song's purpose. And finally, what do you think of it? It doesn't really matter if it's good or bad in anyone else's estimation, and the point's not really to judge it that way to begin with. Your purpose is to inform your own process, so notice what speaks to you and what doesn't. Something I've resolved to of late is to consume more music made by other people. It's easy when you're busy making your own music to isolate just a little. Or it is for me, anyway. So I've been listening to albums and going to shows. And I'm learning every time I do. But more than learning, I'm adding to my creative lexicon. And most importantly, feeding my soul the food of love. So, my friends, listen on. I'm Carrie Ray. Join me next time on For a Song. If you have ideas, questions, or topics you would like to have covered on For a Song, please send them along. You can reach me via the contact page of my website, carrieray.com. That's CARRIRAY.com. Thanks for listening.
This is Pam Rader with the Brown County Hour. For the last several weeks, I've had occasions to ride the local access van. Since this county has no cab or bus service, I was grateful it was available. I'm here with a couple riders of the access van.
Esther Pettigo.
And?
Carol Beecraft.
And you two ride the access van every week?
Yes.
Up here to Hickory Ridge Center. How long have you been riding the access van?
When it started. Dewalde and I started it from the veterans. The first man that took the veterans over, he went in and with his own money and bought him a bus. I was the secretary there, so I had to get all the drivers. And we just took the people then to the grocery stores and doctors.
And where would you be without the access van?
I would be lost.
Because you depend on it for medical and shopping. And Carol, how about you?
Elderly people have no way around.
Yes.
They don't have kids to take them. They don't have nobody.
So I'm here today with one of the access drivers.
Warren Shade.
Warren, why did you want to be a driver?
I was looking for something to do. We had already joined the Triad program. My wife and I volunteer for Triad. And I heard from Phil, another one of the drivers, about access. And he encouraged me to think about it. Number one, I wanted to stay active in doing it. Number two, I love to drive. And so I said, what a great way to meet people and get to know the county. And believe me, there are a lot of parts of Brown County that I still don't know. But I've learned a lot about some of these little back roads and hills and ridges and stuff that exist here. And it's an interesting place and a beautiful place to drive around. So it's been a lot of fun.
So I'm also here with a dispatcher.
Mary Boland.
How many drivers do you have with the access van?
Five.
People need to call
24 hours ahead of time or as soon as they have an appointment.
You have two drivers, two vans every day, is that correct?
Yes.
And you have to work out the scheduling. And so what are your hours?
Right now they are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the season through the snow and the winter part. It's 6 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So it's Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. I'm here with Kim Robinson, who is the director of our local YMCA.
We are the program manager.
The Y took it over
in 2014.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about funding. Senior citizens ride for free. A lot of people can't afford it. They ride for free. How actually is the access van funded?
It is funded through NDOT, Indiana Department of Transportation. They match our expenses. So whatever I turn in my quarterly reports to Johnson County, which we're under their umbrella, and they in turn turn on our finances to NDOT. And then we are getting funding quarterly from there We also get funding from Thrive Alliance, which does provide the 60 and over that can ride for free. That funding is not guaranteed year after year, so we're looking at that maybe being cut June of next year, 2016. So that will put a crimp on our 60 and over population.
So do we get county funding sometimes too?
Yes, I do request funds from the county commissioners.
Give me an example of how many riders you see in a year or a month.
This year to date, we have had 2,475 riders. That's as of the end of September. The two vehicles have driven 46,000 miles.
And that's what makes Brown County different is right. They don't really have a regular route.
Right, there's not a circuit route. This is curb to curb. So you call and say, I need to go to the doctor. We'll come to your doorstep and take you where you need to go.
Now, the Y oversees this program, but no Y funds go into
correct.
It.
This is a solo, right. total separate funding source. No Y money intermingles. So.
Okay. Mary told me there's a website and a Facebook page.
Yeah, there's a link from the WISE website, and we've started our own Facebook page, Access Brown County. So
if people wanted to donate time, money, whatever, they could go to the Y page or Access Brown County and do it right online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they could come in and
call the dispatch office, 988-0185, or just stop into the Y. The office dispatcher is open 7:30 a.m. to 12:30, Monday through Friday.
Okay. Kim, I appreciate you finding time to talk to me.
No problem.
And also the fact that the Y did pick up the service, because
otherwise
who would have?
Right, it would have gone away, and that would have been a horrible thing for the county.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Unpolitically Incorrect by Gunther Flum. Politically correct these days are things that we're supposed to say to stop a fight that starts a grudge that ends before a court and judge, which lawyers dressed in suits they seek to make some cash on how we speak. Now, I admit there's things I've said that in the past have always led to confrontations of the sort that end up in Brown County Court. But what I say they find so funny, instead of fines, they pay me money. Since judge and juries like to sit and watch me stir things up a bit, and so I like to take my time to bring them cases so sublime that in my backwoods country style, it always takes the courts a while to figure out and find the cause on how I twist and bypass laws. Since all them lawyers all have failed to find a reason I prevailed, now I got a friend named Donald Stump, who's kind of like that Forrest Gump. And so he kind of changed his name, and Woody Stump is now to blame for anything we do or say based on how much we can pay. And so they now have made a sport of taking Woody Stump to court because they say he lacks respect when unpolitically incorrect. And so when Woody goes to jail, our whole county pays his bail. It seems that Woody Stump had stated Negro elephants were related to the ones the color white who swing their trunks from left to right and leave the gray ones in between without a clue to what they mean. And so poor Woody got arrested for things he said that I attested. Now let me set the record straight. I saved my friend from all the hate because I learned while in my youth to never ever tell the truth. And so I didn't even try while on the stand to tell a lie. And so the court all got a laugh about the truth on Stump's behalf. Now this is what I really said, was African elephants lose their head for their ivory colored white every day and every night, and what a price they all must pay as easy targets, big and gray. But filtered through poor Woody's brain, things don't quite come out the same, and so I claimed it was expected for him to be politically corrected. And so they set poor Woody free, and then instead arrested me. So I guess we both made money. After all, folks, he is Donald Stump. Yours truly, Gunther Flum.
Tell us about Funks in Town.
Oh, well, that's the biggest production on the album and actually features Slats Klug on keys. It's the only track we've got Slats on, but man, he really made it. Let me tell you what. He played a real Hammond B3, a vintage tube instrument, and we've got horns on that album and backup vocals. And, well, it's my tribute to James Brown, actually, to the godfather of soul.
Well, there you go.
Now we pause for station identification.
Support for WFHB and the Brown County Hour is brought to you by Plum Creek Antiques, located at the intersection of 135 and 45 in downtown Bean Blossom, where visitors can buy, sell, or trade most anything. More information is available by calling 812-988-6268. You are listening to the Brown County Hour on volunteer-powered community radio WFHB at 100.7 in Brown County, 91.3 and 98.1 in Bloomington, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
Dave Seastrom shares another essay. Vera Grubbs interviews local artist Martha Seckler. We have a poem from Chris Curtin. We'll finish the show by listening to another tune from Forest Grass.
Fall has gone and done it. Even though this happens every year, I never take it for granted. Brown County is famous for its fall foliage, and rightly so. Our beautiful expanse of rolling hills and amazing vistas are a blaze of glory every year when the leaves turn and the tourists flock to this area to see the spectacle. We rank right up there with the best of them. Most Hoosiers know there's no need to drive to Vermont or Nova Scotia when you have something this special right in your own backyard. The killing frost turns the tide as the forest gives up her canopy and becomes a stark presence against the barren hillsides for another winter. The night owls call to each other while the coyotes sing their lonely and foreboding songs. Ancient in the practice, the great slumber begins for all the critters who hibernate, and the long, dark, cold, hungry time begins for those that don't. The humans who are privileged to live here are amongst the critters who don't spend winter in sleep. The recent past, folks were given the choice between being ready for winter or freezing due to their own laziness. Fall was a very busy time. There was firewood to make, produce to put up, and meat to hunt. The frugal raised gardens, and by fall their larder was full of summer goodness put up in jars and safely tucked away for the winter. Even today, many of us still practice the old ways. After all, the times may have changed, but winter has not. A simple power outage strips away the thin veneer of civilization, and then it's up to you. Brown County is surrounded by civilization. We hear about things like internet streaming and roads that are plowed as soon as it snows, but that's not what it's like for us. It wasn't so long ago that party lines were the first dial-up service. This was way ahead of its time. You got a phone connection and entertainment all for one low monthly fee. In those days, everyone knew everything about everybody. We're a little more private now, but there isn't much that people are up to that isn't talked about by everyone else. Fall is when the chores you do determine whether you coast comfortably through the winter or you scramble to make firewood day by day. It won't do to be the grasshopper out freezing in the cold when all of the ants are warm and dry in their hills. For the hardworking and the prepared, winter is the time to kick back and enjoy the scenery. When the big winter storms hit, there's no better comfort than a blazing wood stove. Especially so for those who have a big pile of firewood stacked out of the weather on a back porch or under a tarp next to the kitchen door. The driving snow and howling winds produce an activity we call hunkering down. I've heard that other people hunker down, but I suspect it's a different animal when you're in a big city somewhere. The image I have is sub-zero cold, with deep, wind-drifted snow that continues to fall and barely making it home only because you have four-wheel drive. These are some of the thoughts that early fall invokes. We're a few months away from that reality, and there's still plenty of time for gathering with friends around a bonfire and enjoying the weather. Up here on the ridgetop, as soon as the leaves are down and the view opens up, for the next 6 months we can see other ridgetops off in the distance. The increased light brings the naked trees into sharp focus, and the forest takes on a completely different look. When the foliage is on, the forest becomes closed in. And unless you're at a vantage point, the only expansive view is the sky. Fall changes all of that. And suddenly, you can see the contours of the land and make out separate trees off in the distance. Even the air is different. Not only the quality, but also the sounds it makes whistling through the trees. The other distinctive sound of fall is walking through the dry leaves. The crunching sound immediately invokes the season. This always reminds me of playing in leaf piles when I was a kid, and there are times when I'm ready to jump in even now. Fall also has its own aroma. In the city, it was the smell of burning leaves. In the forest, it's the smell of nature at work, a dank but pleasant smell of rotting leaves mixed with the fragrance of soil as they are absorbed into the earth. What we're witnessing is the continuing cycle of birth and death. Fall stands in stark contrast to the spring as the earth begins her slumbers only to be born again on a not too distant sunny spring day. Meanwhile, there's fresh cider to drink, beautiful scenery to look at, and the certain knowledge that soon it will be winter. This is Dave Seastrom. See you next time.
This is Vera Grubbs with the Brown County Hour. I'm at Martha Seckler's studio on the Back Road Studio Tour here in Brown County, fall of 2015. How are you today, Martha?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's a beautiful day out there. And
it's gorgeous.
Coming through Nashville, I could barely move. The hordes of people.
Yeah, that's why we do the Back Roads Tour during this time, so people have a chance to get away from the crowds of Nashville and drive on the back roads.
Almost distracting from actually driving.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
As an artist, you do have a special way of looking at the world around you. How would you describe your perception of your surroundings and the effect it has on your art?
I'd say I look at the trees, I look at the sky. I'm keenly aware of the changes in the seasons and the light throughout the day. I can't imagine doing my art without the natural world around me. It's just everywhere. And I hope it shows in my artwork that I'm really aware of that, of the colors and the shapes and the patterns and that you see in nature.
And a lot of your medium is also a part of nature.
That's right. I work with gourds. The gourds come in all shapes and sizes, and they come in thick and thin and smooth and rough, and they also have lots of patterns on them, and I use those patterns to influence what I put on the gourd.
Do you grow them?
I grow some of them. I also buy some online because some of them are better coming from California and Arizona, but I also, people just give them to me. Sometimes they're not very good, but yeah, I can usually find a use for parts of them anyway.
And what is your other medium?
Watercolor. A lot of people think it's very difficult, and I guess if you want to control it all the time, it is. But I like the spontaneity of it. Things that happen with the colors and the bleeds and so on, I don't expect. That makes it exciting. I don't plan my paintings real carefully. I plan them mostly around color, and then I just see what happens when they...
Being an artist hasn't always been your full vocation, has it?
No. It's always in the back of my head, but yes, I worked for many years as the school librarian in the elementary schools in Nashville and Van Buren, but mostly in Spernica and Helmsburg. And so I've been very influenced by the picture books and the beauty of the colors and the illustrations and picture books. So that has influenced my art even when I wasn't doing it. I do a lot of storytelling. I feel like the art is also a reflection of stories.
Even now, do you do that?
I do. I'm retired from the school system, but I work a day a week at the public library. I act as the school liaison for the public library and go out in the schools and tell stories. Do what teachers ask. If they ask me to do some special program, I'll do that too.
A lot of changes happen over time here in the county. What have you noticed that stands out as far as what's happened in the past and how we're approaching the future?
Well, one of the changes in the art world is that when I moved to Brown County, there wasn't a whole lot happening, and it was kind of the end of a lot of the people that had been part of the art colony, the original art colony.
What year was this?
This was in 79.
Uh-huh.
So there wasn't as much happening at that point, but since that time, there's a lot of interest now, and it's become an art colony once again, with lots and lots of artists here and organizations that are promoting the arts. Not only art itself, but music. That's become really important to the community. And
very.
Lots of live performances that didn't used to happen at all. So I think there's a lot of creativity in the areas of writing as well. So I think it's just become a more and more exciting place to live.
This has been Vera Grubbs with the Brown County Hour, and I'm concluding my interview with Martha Segler.
This is Chris Curtin with a poem called Places. We're good at getting places, and we're good at getting away from places, but know little about being in place. In most places, there is no place, only in-between spaces where you feel out of place in your assigned space. But comfort yourself momentarily while hunting for a hiding place, seeking a safe place to protect your inner space. Fill your empty places, seek the irreplaceable commonplace. In any case, cover all the bases and go through your paces, leaving no trace on your face when they put you in your place, as you move from place to place, to new wide open spaces as the walls of your own making close in upon you and you accommodate yourself to your final resting place.
So tell me about Rita's Blues.
Rita's Blues is more about the when you marry a woman because she's so beautiful so that you can forget her, or a reminder not to forget her.
Didn't you name your sailboat Rita's Blues?
Well, you know, love is a tumultuous relationship, and any relationship with a sailboat can very likely be. Or any woman, I might add.
Which actually brings me to my next question, which is, I already knew because we are friends on Facebook, I see some of the things you post, and so I know quite well that you are a sailor, and so I found myself curious as to, and I would say you're like you live the life of a sailor, like you're passionate about it, you're passionate about sailing and about your boat, and so obviously you're passionate about your music as well. And I wondered if you could share with us, for you, any similarities that you see between what you love about sailing and what you love about music.
Well, let's hope Rita Blues kind of captures some of that.
All right. But prior to listening to the album, what would you say?
Well, if you can get free with your instrument, it's kind of like getting out on the water and being free.
Well said, well said.
Dave inspired me to sail. It was some of my first sailing experiences.
Well, yeah, Dave, you're a sailor too, right?
That's right.
And the first time we got out on the Wallower, as soon as we got away from the harbor, we're free.
Yeah, no, that's always right. It's all this fussing around, and then once the sails are up and the wind is right and you're set, the magic begins. And that is a lot like making music.
That girl, she got a sweet tooth. Yes, we can be. That girl, she got a sweet tooth, and she's sweet, sweet like candy. Fine stinger, stings like a honeybee. She's my sunshine.
So Forrest, how can we get a hold of you? Tell us about your website, Facebook, all that good stuff.
You can go to forestgrassband.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Forrest with one R and Grass with one S.
Well, Forrest, it's been a real treat to have you in the studio. This is some exciting music. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Forrest.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Aye, aye.
Not much more a man can take.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 44 of the Brown County Hour, recorded in our studio at the History Center here in downtown Nashville, and brought to you the first Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. and the following Wednesday at 6 p.m. This show was produced by
Jeff Foster,
Pam Rader,
Rick Fettig,
Vera Grubbs,
Carrie Ray,
and Dave Seastrom. We would also like to thank Slats Klug for our theme music. Listening to the Brown County Hour.
Coming to you from deep in the woods of Brown County, Indiana.
Celebrating the arts, culture, and nature that make this such a unique community.
Visit us online at browncountyhour.com.
The Brown County Hour is a production of WFHB.
Volunteer-powered, listener-supported community radio for South Central Indiana.
Take me back to my home, Brown County. Oh.